Dear friends, today as we celebrate the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, I'm tempted to just reread the first and second reading and then go sit down, because everything is there. It's all in there. All the preaching has been done. Respect, respect, respect. Love, love, love. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And then the rewards that God will give us for doing all those things to each other, the respect, the love, and everything good. And why do we, let us ask ourselves, why is family so binding, yet so fragile? Why is family so binding? There is something that pulls us towards family, and yet it is so fragile also. Family is binding because family is sacred. We'll be just ordinary people were it not for family. We would be almost nobodies were it not for family. Family is sacred. Think about it. A young man is just a young man, and then he puts a ring on the finger of a young girl or a lady, and he's just not just an ordinary person anymore. He is now a husband, a sacred person unto that woman. And the young lady who receives the ring is no longer just another young lady who everyone sees and mixes with and goes to work and goes to the mall and shopping with. She is now a wife, a sacred person unto that man, with God-given rights and duties and responsibilities, just as the man has towards her also. Sacred people unto each other. And they are just a couple. They are just a couple like any other until they have a child of their own or they adopt a child. And boom, they're just no longer just a couple, but they are sacred people unto that child or the children, with rights and duties and responsibilities and obligations God-given towards the child or the children they have in the family. And the child may not know it and usually doesn't know it, until at some point they realize that they also have sacred duties and obligations towards those they call mom and dad. And that is what Sirach is telling us in the first reading, to be very careful how we relate to our parents, to be very careful how we relate to those who have discharged their sacred duties unto us when we were incapable, when we were growing up, to be careful. There is something I've noticed, dear friends, and I think it's true. It is difficult. It is difficult to watch our parents go down the path of age. I want to say it because a lot of people stay away from visiting their parents when they go to the retirement homes, the nursing homes, or the hospitals because of pain. I don't want to talk about the people who neglect their parents. I want to talk about those who genuinely want to visit. But just remembering this once vibrant woman, strong and doing everything, all of a sudden she's frail. You're watching her go down. It is painful. I know that for a fact. But let us continue to visit them. Let us continue to be present to them. It is the same with our fathers. And that is why Sirach tells us not to neglect them when they grow old, because they did not neglect us when we were fragile, when we were weak, when we were growing up, not knowing anything about the world. They didn't give up on us. Let us not give up on them. Family is sacred, like I said. Also, siblings in the family, you grow up realizing all of a sudden that you are a brother or a sister, and you have a sacred duty unto those you call brother or sister. And also cousins and aunts and uncles and the rest of them. You have a sacred duty unto them. And that is why we go out on a limb for family. That is why sometimes we do things we wouldn't do for friends, for family. Because we realize that sacredness. There is something there that is pulling us. There is something there that is more than the eye has seen. And that is why family is binding. I recall, I've told this story to some people sometime. My brother, he could sleep through anything. A hurricane could carry him to another province and he wouldn't even wake up. But when he had his first child, I went to visit them. And in the middle of the night, I saw him walking around. I thought something was obviously wrong. He said, no, he does that. He just checks everything said, you wake up in the middle of the night just to said, yeah, I have a baby to look after. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be fun. That baby changed my brother. He realized all of a sudden that he has a sacred duty, that he has a duty to wake up in the middle of the night and be sure the baby is not crying, to wake up in the middle of the night and see to the security of his house. And I was thankful to God for that baby. I said, have a few more. That is why family is binding. That is just an example. And then we come to the fact, why is family so fragile? Something that is so sacred, so wonderful, so beautiful. Something that Lumen Gentium, a document of the Vatican II, called the domestic church. That is where we get the first sense of sacredness before we even know about God as children in a family. Why is it so fragile? Why do we make fun of family? In the movies, when the movies are written and the script is about family, you realize that there is something negative there. They always write about families that are quarreling. I haven't seen a movie that is about a family that is all joy and joy and joy. And it is true, dear friends. They are writing from fact. Even the cartoon I saw some days ago in one of the newspapers was talking about a family, you know, Viking joke about, oh, let's start a business for families because they quarrel. They will come to us to do business with us. Why is it so fragile? I think there is something in us that also speaks to the sacredness. Let me give a little story. When I was a seminarian, I was working for long apostolic work in the hospital, in a cathedral with a hospital nearby. I used to take communion to the new mothers. And sometimes I would stand and wait for them to do their duties, do the vaccination and all of that before. And I noticed something. When a baby receives an injection in its mother's arms, they cry forever. They cry and wail and kick. But when they receive that in the arms of the nurse and they're given back to their mothers, usually, they calm down faster. And I thought, well, am I missing something? At some point, I asked one of the sisters, I said, do you notice what? She said, yes. And she said, let me explain to you. They don't understand how such a horrible thing could happen to them in the arms of their mother. And that is why they scream and kick. It's almost an accusation. How could you let this happen? Because they don't know it's for their own good. But in the arms of a stranger, they can endure it. Psalm 55, from verse 12 to 14, David gave a lamentation for a friend. He said, if this had been done by an enemy, I could bear his insults. But it is you, my close friend. How close was the friendship we enjoyed in the house of the Lord? And he's talking about a friend. How much more family? What is my point? Sometimes we remove humanity from family. That is my problem. It is probably yours too. Sometimes we don't cut family the slack that we cut our fellow human beings, and we cut ourselves also. Family is human. Family is bound to offend. Family will surely hurt us because we are all human. But we hold on to, just like those babies who do not know. Let us remember that the babies do not know that this is for their own good. They hold on to the hurt for a long time. How could this happen to me in your arms, O mother, O father? That is what we do to family. How can you even think of saying these words to me? How can you even think of doing this to me? We hold on to that hurt for so long. But Paul is telling us in the second reading today, dear friends, that there are two wings with which we can make family binding, sacred, and yet very strong, even in the midst of weakness. Paul talks about forgiveness, that we have to forgive as God has forgiven us. And that means we have to forgive over and over and over and over until God stops forgiving. We should never stop forgiving family. Paul talks about love, the love that binds us in the peace of Christ. And what was the kind of love that Christ showed us? He gave everything, the last drop of his blood, even while he was being jeered at, and gave even the water from his body when there was no more drop of blood to give. He gave everything. That is what we are called to do for family. And as we celebrate the Holy Family today, let us examine one person in that family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, who, I don't know if he ever said a word in the Bible. I'm sure he said so many things, but I don't recall anything being written about what he said. Joseph. Joseph is someone we need to think about, especially when we have difficulty with family. Joseph's story of Christmas and all of that is written in a very, very, I'm sorry to say this because it's the Bible, but it's very shallow. We need to examine what happened to that man and sort of emulate what he did. Because the second reading talks about meekness, about humility, about love, about being for the other. That was this man, Joseph. Think about it. Betrothed to a girl, and all of a sudden, she's pregnant, not by you. Can you imagine the shame? How can he go to the bowling alley? What is he going to tell his friends? They are meeting for a card game tomorrow evening. What is he going to tell them? When he sends the wife away, will he not be the butt of the joke in Nazareth? There he goes, the one whose wife got pregnant by another man. That will be the rumor all over the place. And the law stipulates that for him to regain his pride, he has to bring her out to be stoned. Matthew chapter 1, from verse 18 downwards to 20, the Bible tells us that when Joseph discovered that his wife was pregnant, he decided to endure the humiliation and not to humiliate her in order to regain his own pride. He wanted to send her away quietly to spare her that humiliation. Joseph is the one we need to think about when we are not very comfortable with family, because he endured it all. And that child whom we now know as the sacred, our Savior, our Messiah, Jesus, that child was a problem to Joseph from day one. From the time it was announced that the wife is pregnant, Joseph was in turmoil. Okay, later on he accepted. And then after the birth, Herod, can you imagine the ruler coming after the family of a carpenter? All you have is your hammer and pincers and nails and all of that. How are you going to fight Herod? He had to flee to Egypt to start all over again. Start printing out complimentary cards to give to people, because he has to feed his family. He has to work. He's not a rich man. He had to run to a foreign country. And when he came back and they went to worship in the temple, Jesus was about 11 or 12 years old, he got lost. How can you explain that to people? How bad a parent are you to lose your child? Can you imagine the shame and embarrassment with which he was going around? Have you seen Jesus? What do you mean, have you seen Jesus? And what kind of parent are you? We know, I'm sure you've lost your child in a mall sometime, at least for 5, 10, 15 seconds. You know how hard it is, how panicked you were. 3 days, they searched for that child. And when they found him, he had the guts to say, "Do you not know that I have to be about my father's business?" He did not have it easy. Yet, he was picked because God saw that he had all the qualities to keep this family together. Dear friends, when family is not smooth, let us remember that we are human. When family is not going very well, let us look to Joseph to find out how he was calm and humble and meek and endured all that came to him. But family is beautiful, believe me. This is one of the most sacred institutions that God has given us. And if we have lost touch with family, let us pick up the phone. Let us call them. My theory is this. If there is nothing life-threatening, then we can endure everything. We can work with family. We can laugh. We can be happy because God has blessed us. May the peace of the Lord be with you.